Isn't God amazing?
Yes. Hallelujah. I tell you what I love about the Lord is just about the time that you think you got it figured out, He does a 180, and it's even better than you could ever imagine. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to start a study tonight. It's going to take us several weeks to go through, and we're going to talk about that you and I just stir ourselves up about it being the spiritual house of the Lord. That's who we are. And being the spiritual house of the Lord, we need to understand that we are God's stewards in everything that we do and everything that we say. And being God's stewards, we need to take care of His house. And, you know, that starts right here because we're His house. And that's what we're going to talk about, how as we get closer to the Lord. See, salvation is one thing and sanctification is another. And so thank God for salvation, but praise the Lord for sanctification, because we're on our way to glorification. Amen? And so we want to be in the place and the position to help people as the Lord brings them into our lives, that they can understand that they can be saved and still have some issues, and He wants to help them with it. Amen? And that nobody's perfect but the Lord, and He's working on us, and one day we will be, though. Amen? All right, so that's what it's going to take us several weeks, but we need to really get strong in this area to be able to do what the Lord would have us to do this coming year. So you see the scripture there, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. It says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So what you and I need to do, we need to, every time we think about it, we need to just lift our hands to heaven and say, "Thank God, I am a living stone in the house of God." Because that word lively stone, it means you're alive because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? The God kind of life is working in you. Come on, the life of Jesus Christ is in you because you're hearing the Word of God by the Spirit of God, and that Zoe, that God quickening, is taking, it's just expanding your thoughts, it's expanding your horizons, it's expanding the promises of God to where you can see where you're at and see where they're taking you to. Amen? And so we've got to see what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Now, I know you won't be able to see this, but go to the next slide, Brother Ryan. I'll make anybody a copy that wants it. But I want you just to picture this. See, you and I, as we look at the house of God, we're under the covering of the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. He's the Bible. But He is that Word. He's the shadow of the Most High God that we're abiding under. But He's also the chief cornerstone. And so you're building your house, your life, on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, which is based, as He's the foundation. You got the prophets, you got the apostles and the prophets and the fivefold ministry that come, and you're building in that and adding to that. And so as we see that God's building a family, but the family is His house. And so your house and your responsibility within Him, and my house and my responsibility within Him, we need to build everything about our lives according to the Word of God. And so as we're building according to the Word of God, it brings all the possibilities of what Jesus has for us to pass. God wants you to see how much He loves you. He wants you to see that His love is greater than any sin that would try to invade in your life, in my life. He wants you to see that His grace is sufficient for all situations. And so that's what we're going to be going forward in. But for all this to work, you've got to believe that you're God's steward. So let's get into that. Next slide, Brother Ryan. I sure do appreciate you so much. Somebody read 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Thank you, Sister Ramona. So now the Apostle Paul here, he's talking about in his ministry that he's got to be faithful because God's gave him a ministry. Well, According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, every believer has the ministry of reconciliation. You know, you become a new creature in verse 17. And then as you look at in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and then as you go to verse 21, you recognize and realize that God saved you to give you a ministry. And that ministry is that you have an anointing, in other words, to bring the family of God, the house of God, together. That's why you can say things that can pull people out of the world, that can pull them out of sin, that can pull them out of the stronghold of the devil, and put them in the place that God would want them to be. But you've got to be in the place, I've got to be in the place where I know that I'm a steward. In other words, everything I have in my life, it's God's. And I want to be faithful in it. But that also means everything that I would need in my life to fulfill my call is available to me. In other words, you lack no good thing. If you need wisdom, James 1:5, all you got to do is ask in faith. He'll give you wisdom. If you need an understanding of the faith that He's gave you, then Romans 12:3, you see that God's dealt you the measure of faith. If you need an understanding of the unction, you recognize that Jesus said, you open your mouth, He'll fill it. And so all of these things, everything that you would need is available in your life. In other words, God just doesn't love you a little bit and give you part. You have access to every promise that any saint has ever had access to. Isn't that something? And so anything that God blessed the Apostle Paul with, anything that God blessed Billy Graham with, if you're in that place and position that you need to minister in that way, it's available to you. Amen? Somebody read the 1 Peter 4:10.
As every man hath received the gift, even so, master.
Yes, sir.
The same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Thank you, Brother Zach. So don't you love that? Just as you have received the gift, well, the gift is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's God's Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. That unspeakable gift that Paul wrote about to the church at Corinth. Just as you received Him, you minister Him out of your life. In other words, I can't tell other people what Jesus done in your life as effectively, even if I've heard your testimony. Because your testimony is unique, and it's personal, and it's powerful. And so that manifold grace, think about that. The word there, manifold, motley, the varying degrees, levels of grace that you come to by faith, it's in your life. In other words, it doesn't matter who God lines you up to talk to. You can talk to them, and it'll reach their heart. See, I used to back up on the Lord sometimes. He'd arrange a situation, and I'd say, now, God, they're not going to hear a word I say. Well, see, I've done tied His hands. I've done cursed an ordered meeting by the Lord, and so I had to repent of that because that's not true. God, He orders your steps. He orders my steps. And so He wants us to know that whoever He lines us up to talk with, when you open your mouth, He'll give you what you need. And it's not what you know, it's who you know. See, the devil wants to say, well, now you have nothing to say to that person. Well, I don't, but I have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows their heart and knows what they're struggling in, knows where they're at, and we can minister the manifold grace of God right to them. Amen? But we've got a decree out of our own mouth. I am God's steward. Come on. I am God's steward faithfully. That's who we are. And so every time you say that, you're affirming the Word of God in your life and out of your life. And the doubt that the devil, maybe self-doubt that would want to rise up, is put under the feet of Jesus. Amen? You know, in Luke 16:10, Jesus, He said, if you're faithful in least, that in which is least, you'll also be faithful in that which is much. So before we start worrying about the big things, we just need to obey God in the little things. And what happens? All of a sudden, God counts us faithful, and He starts giving you more. That's why you see people who start different ministries, and they start it, and it starts out little. But we do not despise the day of small beginnings. Amen? We hold on to the Lord, and He makes it bigger and bigger and bigger. All right, let's look at that next slide. Let's look at the house of God there. Now, you know, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, and we don't have time to go there, but you can look at it in the minor prophets. You and I, we've got to see that God has raised up pillars that's holding up His house. And that means that God believes that you can hold up other people. Because remember, other people are the house of God just like you are. But you can reach out to the weaker brother or sister, and God will use you to hold them up. Isn't that something? You know, sometimes we think, well, what's this life all about? You know, we get in the rat race of just living life, and sometimes it just seems like you're just going in circles. You know, after you've done something so many times, you know, you've washed so many clothes, or you've changed so many diapers, or whatever you do with your time over and over and over, whatever it is, you think, is it really worth anything? Yes. Yes, your life is ordained by God. God's ordering your steps, and you have impact in people's lives. And so you need to not let the devil belittle what you're doing or where you're at in this space of life. I want you to know, by the Spirit of God, God is mindful of right where you're at. He's seen everything that you've done in the past, and you may be doing something completely different now, or you may not have the opportunity or the avenue to do what you've done before, but that doesn't mean that this time isn't just as special as that time before was. Amen? Believe that, because God's the giver of time. And since God's the giver of time, that means that He knows what He's doing, and it's going to work. Amen? All right. We could look at many verses about being a good steward, but we won't take time. Look at that next slide, Brother Ryan. So, to be able to be the good steward of God and to move from just salvation to sanctification on our way to glorification, we've got to be willing to clean some things out of our life. Amen? And the greatest thing that happens in your life is you look back over from year to year and you see where God's brought you from. You know, and you think, my goodness, God is, He just helped me get that out of my life, and I didn't even know that that was a hindrance or an issue. That's the way God does it. See, man does it. They come over there and they get in your face, and they start telling you what you need to do and what you don't need to do. That don't work. Now, sometimes I need a stern rebuke, but you know what? Every time I needed a stern rebuke, it didn't come from man, it came from God. Now, I'm not saying God won't use somebody if He has to, but everybody's got a different personality, and God knows my personality, and I'll respond better when He gets strong with me than when somebody else does. Because when somebody else does, then I have a tendency not only to feel embarrassed. Do you ever get embarrassed? And when I get embarrassed, then we got problems, because my embarrassment raises up the old carnal man. And inside that carnal man, then, I back away instead of pulling closer. But when the Lord loves on me and corrects me, I get closer to Him. You know, He knows what He's doing. Amen? And He's such a good God. All right, look at that. Somebody read that. If you can see it, if you can't, tell me and I'll read it. First.
He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct, in speech, in word, in conversation.
Thank you, Sister Apple. So, Peter here, he's telling us, he gives us the command. And when I was a young Christian, I would hear that command and I would get very nervous. And I would think, oh my, because I hadn't been taught grace. I hadn't received grace, let me put it that way, in the way that I should. And so I put all the pressure on myself. But the pressure is not on me. And that's what we got to teach people as we're trying to get them to come into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. When He says, be you holy, He is telling us that I can be. You know, it's a command, but it's a command with promise. In other words, I'm serving a holy God, and because He's holy and I am of His seed. Come on, we are of Jesus Christ, the seed of the living God. And so the Bible says kind after kind. And so with kind after kind, that reality, I can be what God is. Come on now, you can be, because it's a process. We don't get hung up on where we're at. We know where we're going. Amen? And so I want you to when you hear this verse and when you meditate on this verse and when you give this verse to other people, give it to them in the point not of a high mountain of a challenge, but give it to them of a comfort of what they can be. That changes everything. See, the devil likes to put the word in a legalistic manner. But God puts it to us in a way that it gives us a firm foundation of where we're going. Amen? So he said, be ye holy. In other words, what's this holy? Let's just take it to where we can understand it. You know, it'd be better translated for us, just be clean. That's why we're talking about spiritual, cleaning our spiritual house. Because God wants to, by the Word of God, to show us some things that will just make our life better. You know, you can look back over your life and see where you're at, and some of those things that seem so important, but they were a hindrance to the will and the work of God, they don't even matter now. Why? Because you've changed your point of view. You've let the Word flow through you, and you've become pruned and purged. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So next slide, Brother Ryan, we're going to look at, of course not tonight, but we're going to all together, when we get through this, we're going to go through seven steps that is going to purify the way you think. It's going to change the way you think, because it's going to be the Word of God. And every time that you hear the Word of God, it causes your mind to be renewed. It causes a renovation in your life. It causes you to think things differently, because what we've got to see is, the battle is in your mind. The battle is in my mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5, it tells us that we're to cast down vain imaginations, empty thoughts. See, the devil, he likes to torment people. He goes, what are you going to do if? How are you going to handle if they say this? What if this bill comes due? Come on, we've all been there. What are you going to do when this happens and that happens and all of these things? And he gets us so caught up in what might be that we miss what God's wanting to say to us about what will be. Amen? And so he tells us in that 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that we're to bring every thought, I believe it's verse 5, bring every thought under the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once again, that doesn't put us in a place of something we can't do. It tells me that I can control my mind. Not by myself, but by the help of the Word of God. Now, I don't know where your struggle. Your struggle may be more in the carnal part of it. We are spirit, soul, and body. May have more body issues. But my issues, they start right here. And boy, the devil shows all of these things, and then if you're not careful, you get in fear and doubt, and you start allowing the clutter of negativity, the clutter of lies, the clutter of limitation, the clutter of all of those questions of life gain a foothold in your life. That's it. Yes, sir. And so we want to be in the place where we clean all of that out by the Word of God. Amen? All right. Somebody turn to Psalms 24, and let's read those five verses. Thank you, Brother Ryan. I want somebody to read those, because I could have put them on the screen, but it's good for us to open up our own Bibles and turn to, or you can do it on your app, whatever. But I want you to see, verse 5 is the blessing. But the blessing comes after the obedience. And we want the blessing, amen. God wants us to be blessed in every situation, but to be in the place of the full blessing, we've got to obey to where we've grown.
Yes, amen.
Anybody?
Which verse?
Verses 1 through 5, Psalms 24, verses 1 through 5.
The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein, for He hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor formed deceitfully.
Yes, ma'am.
And he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, the righteousness from the God of his eyes.
Thank you so much, Sister Apple. So notice verse 5 that she read promised us that we would receive the blessing from the Lord, we'd receive the righteousness from Him, because we just simply understand that God is the creator of the heavens, plural, and the earth, but He's the creator of us. And we're willing to come into the place of obedience where we accept Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, as Sister Apple read there, notice in verse number 4, he cleansed your hands, which is your actions, and he cleanses your heart. And that's what the work of Jesus Christ in your life, that's what it accomplishes. Because when you recognize and realize that you're not your own, and this is what we want to tell people, tell them, you are not your own. The Lord has redeemed you. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has bought you back out of the world. And that all those actions that we used to do, they're gone. They're under the blood. And we're living by grace now. And the grace of God can take the actions that used to be twisted by things that we didn't understand and by the pull of the enemy. And He said He would make them for His own. And that would bring a blessing. So you need to be in the place, I need to be in the place where we say, I'm living by grace, and I recognize that everything's the Lord's, and I'm a steward of the Lord's righteousness. Notice what Sister Apple read in verse number 5, that you will receive that righteousness. Well, see, Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21, was made sin that you could be made the righteousness of God. So you've got to stand up and tell the devil when he tells you how you've missed it, or how wrong a situation or circumstance in your life is, and you're going, wait a minute. I have the righteousness of God. I have the Holy Spirit. He is the one that is leading me and guiding me. And if He wants to correct me, He will. Come on now. You're not under the yoke of the devil. You're not under the law, but you're under grace. And so under the reality of grace is the reality that God is the one that is showing you where you're at and where He wants you to go. Amen? See, there's so many people that won't come to church because they think that somebody's going to judge them and tell them what they can do and can't do. I don't know about you, but you talk to people and they go, well, I would come, but I don't have nothing to wear. Who cares? Come the way you are. Come on. God is looking at the heart. Or they'll say, I don't want to come to church because everybody there knows what I've done. Hey, somewhere somebody knows everything that we've done. You know, and we can't change that. But God doesn't look at those things anymore. When He looks at their life, looks at my life, your life, He looks at us through the blood of Jesus. And we want to encourage people and get them to a place where they can sit under the anointing. And they can sit with people of like faith, because whoever you're around, that's what you're going to become. And we want them around us, and it's not us, but it's Christ in us. Amen? All right. So this is one of my favorite verses. Next slide, Brother Ryan. Isaiah 1:19. Isaiah says, if you be willing and obedient, you might, you shall eat the good of the land. Now think about that. Now That's a shadow of showing what happens to us when we get born again. In other words, you know how many people in the body of Christ are saved and on their way to heaven, but they're not willing to receive the fullness of what God has for them? Come on, you've been in the service just as well as I have. When the Holy Spirit's been dealing about a certain situation, drawing people, wanting to help them in that situation, and they wouldn't budge for nothing. See, they were unwilling because they were afraid that somebody might judge them or might question what they were doing. That's why you and I, we have got to be in a place where we create an atmosphere where it's completely non-judgmental. We want to create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is not grieved or quenched in any way. and where anybody can respond at any time to whatever the Holy Spirit would lay on their heart. Amen? Because we want them to not just be willing, we want them to do what the Word said, be obedient. He said if we would be willing and obedient, we would eat the good of the land. That means that we'd have all the promises of God as we matured and as we move forward in His will. Now, I'm not going to have everything today because I couldn't handle it. You know, just like Samantha back there. You know, there's certain things that she can have and certain things she can't. You know, because why? Because of her age. Because of her maturity level. God knows what I can handle and what I can't. But as I show my good stewardship and as I mature in that, He's going to what? He's going to entrust me. He's going to entrust you with more and more. Amen? So, next slide, Brother Ryan. We've got to make up our mind and we've got to decree every day, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing today to eat the good of the land. I'm willing, in other words, to hear the Word of God and to go where the Word will take me. Now, the Word always causes you and I to walk by faith. And so when you step, you're in reality, you're stepping on something that's greater and more promising and more eternal than you ever know. But to the natural man, it seems like there's nothing there. But when you walk on the Word of God, there is no doubt that it's going to work. Amen? It may not feel like that. It may not think like that. But it's the truth. And so we've got to say, no, I want to clean some things out of my life. I want doubt gone. I want fear gone. I want all of these things out of my life because I want to trust God. Because when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, all of a sudden, things change. Amen? There's a peace when the trouble comes. There's an understanding that passes all understanding that comes in your life and my life. All right. Look at this quote by Albert Einstein. I love this. He said, I must be willing to give up what I am. Now notice this. I must be willing to give up what I am in order to become what I will be. Now, I know he was a Jew, but what a profound statement to make. And it's so true for every one of us. See, there's the security in, as soon as you get born again and I get born again, and we know we're on our way to heaven, there's the security to think, well, this is good. Why would I want to try to move any farther? You know, because if we're not careful, there's just a tendency in the human nature just to, well, it's okay now. Let's just sit right here where we're at. But we can't do that because we're serving a God, a Jesus that He said that I'm going to move you from pastor to pastor. I'm going to take you from glory to glory. And so we got to be willing to walk with Him to always have His best. Amen? So we need to come out every day and say, God, Your way is my way. Come on, God's way is my way. And when we tell the Lord that, you know what He does? He takes us at His word. Man may not take us at our word, but God does. And so then all of a sudden God says, okay, since you've said that, I'm going to bring an anointing on your life to help you be able to walk that out. I'm going to organize some angels, and because you've spoke that out of your own mouth, they're going to be hearkening to the word of my voice. Well, you're His voice. And you're going to have some things that will line up that otherwise they would never line up. Amen? All right. Let's see what happened at Ephesus. Now, we all know the story at Ephesus. You know, Paul went there and preached, and, you know, they had 12 men there. All they knew was the baptism of John the Baptist, and so he preaches to them. They get saved and they get filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, we know the, and then we know the seven sons of Sceva, and how they tried to preach in the name of Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. Remember, you know, and so they tried to cast out the demons and they got beat up. Remember all those stories and all those things happened. And then it took that church at Ephesus seeing those things. It caused them to say, I'm not going to stay where I'm at. Somebody read that. Acts 19, 18 through 20. Acts 19, 18 through 20.
And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. three sharks brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the cost of them and found it 50,000 inches of travel. So money improved the word of God and provided.
Thank you, Sister April. So think about that. Because of everything that happened after the word was preached and then the word was lived out before them. In other words, they were kept sitting under the word. And as they kept sitting under the word, Paul even brought a separation from them. You know, he got the ones out of the synagogue who were causing trouble for the others to hear. And he brought them into the school of Tyrannus. And as he got them in that place where he could teach them the word of God, all of a sudden, it brought conviction in their life. Now, what I'm saying is tonight, why the devil wants to keep some of the people that we're wanting to minister to, why he wants to keep them out of the church is because he doesn't want them to sit under the word. Because when you and I sit under the word, when somebody that we're praying for, believing for, sits under the word, there is an anointing that goes in their life. And that anointing brings the truth to them. And that truth, of course, is Jesus. But Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. And so if you notice that when the anointing starts and the word starts going forth, people get nervous. The devil starts working on them. And if he can get them, if he can get some kind of distraction in the church body, if he can get them thinking about something that they need to do or someplace they need to be or go, you'll see them. They'll get up and they'll leave. And so it's important that you and I be in the place and the position that we help people hold on. Pray them in that seat. Love them in that seat. We don't boss them and we don't try to browbeat them in that seat, but we trust the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we just keep praying and we keep believing that as we pray that the Holy Ghost is loving on them. And then if God gives us an opportunity, we put our hands on them. Amen? With kind words and with anything that He would have us to do. But I want you to see that. He said it. That many believed, and they came and they confessed and they showed their deeds. This word deeds, the word is praxis in the Greek, but it's where we get our English word practice. In other words, they come to Paul here and they said, listen, I've got this problem. Sounds a lot like what James wrote about, doesn't it? James said, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. But see, we've got away from that in the church. You know, we've got away from the power of what the Word does. The Word, it comes through us and it shows us something better. And when we hear that Word and we come to a place where we bring where we're at to Jesus, just where we're at, and we give it to the Lord, then He can give us something better. We let go of one thing and He imparts us something so much greater that we'd never even dreamed of. Now think about this. It says, they brought all of the things that was defiled in their household. And look, it says that they found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, this would have been about a day's wage. So, in other words, do the math on that. It would take like 136 years to work to make this much money to buy these books. If you take the silver and you convert it over to today's amount of money, this could be, depending on... for sure how much the silver was, it could be anywhere from $1 to $4 million. Now think about that. See, all of a sudden they know what's true riches. What's true riches? Knowing what God has to say about my situation. Money can't touch it. But see, until I'm willing to allow the Spirit of God to show me the Word to get some things out of my life, I'll never have what's better. See, they were trusting in this magical spells. Have you ever seen a place where kids are under more of attack than they are right now? I mean, what's the number one selling books and movies and all of these things? It has to do with the occult. And if we're not careful, we'll bring that stuff right in and we think that we're doing something good for our kids or our grandkids. We've got to be careful. And people get mad at you, but you know what? We got to say what the Bible says. Amen? And so, it says in verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So, anytime you and I allow the Lord to show us where we're at and we're willing to take that next step, where did the word of God grow? It growed in the people. In the people. That means they expanded their lives. Their lives become more like Jesus and less like the world. And it prevailed. How do we help people get out of addiction? How do we help people who are brokenhearted, who are in hurt and despair and doom and gloom, discouragement is just overtaking them? We give them the Word. The Word is the only thing that will prevail in their life and cause them to overcome. But we have the answer. The answer is the Word of the living God. You and I, we've got these on nearly in every room in our house, on every shelf. We have no excuse. We've got it on our phone. We've got it on our tablet. We've got it on our computer. The Word of God is here. But most importantly, I need it in here. I don't have to have it memorized. I just have to know what the Word is saying to me. Amen? So let's look at this quickly. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. Next slide. Thank you, Brother Ryan. So you and I, we've got to help people to see that when they find salvation, that they're justified because God sent Jesus Christ in their place. And the justification simply means that Jesus, He is the justifier. That when somebody believes in the heart and confesses them with the mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, all of my sin was cast on Christ. And then the blood of Jesus, there's a transference. All the curse of the law and the curse of my sin, it gets transferred to Jesus. And all the blessing of God comes on me. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But that's the way God does it. And so a lot of times you and I, we get in a place where we may be a little hard on our brothers and sisters, harder than we should be, because we need to give them the same grace that God's gave us. Now, we get justified, thank God, just as if we never sinned, but that doesn't mean that we've stepped into sanctification yet. Now, thank God that you and I, we may have stepped up through some things, but that doesn't mean that God has been able to bring our brother and sister to that place yet for whatever reason. We haven't walked in their shoes. We haven't fought the same battle they fought. And so we don't look at them and judge them. We just what? We live a life that gives them hope. Amen? See, there were certain people that I looked up to when I first got saved, and I still look up to them to this day. And as I look to their life, it gives me hope that my life can be better. Now, isn't that exciting? See, but we don't want to be one of those kind of people where somebody looks at you and they think, man, they think I ought to be perfect. And I'm sorry, I just ain't perfect in that area yet. See, that ain't the way Jesus does us. He gives us an expectancy that we can get better. He doesn't give us a discouragement to think, well, I wish I was. Well, my hope is not in my wishing. My hope is in my relationship. Amen? And because I have hope in the Son of the living God, it's going to be okay. And that's what we want to teach them. Okay, so there's justification, there's sanctification, and there's glorification. You and I will never be in the place. Hit that next slide, Brother Ryan. See, we got to see that our justification is that our past is taken care of. And we don't even, it's not an issue about our life anymore. Somebody brings up your past, just tell them, I don't know what you're talking about. Amen? We're not living out of the past. We're living out of the eternity. Because we're blood-bought. We're of an eternal God. He has a plan for us. Your sanctification is present tense. In other words, tomorrow you're going to be different than you are today. But thank God, right at this moment, I'm not the same as I was yesterday. Amen? I'm on my way. You're on your way. We're on our way what? To the future glorification. One day you and I will be perfect and we will have the fullness of the glory of God. And we have that hope and that confidence. But in the meantime, don't let the devil discourage you or make you weak in where you're at. Because where you're at is strong in the Lord. Amen? You've got to see it, but you've got to have an expectancy that every time you hear the Word of God, you're going to get stronger. You're going to get more purified. You're going to get more purged because you're going to have a greater understanding of what God has for you. Amen? All right. We'll talk more about this in the future. But all right, so hit that next slide, brother. We want to live in a life of repentance. See, a lot of times we think that repentance was just a one-time thing. But it's not. Repentance is every day that you and I walk with Jesus, the Word of God comes over the bud of your mind as it comes up through your spirit and it comes into the bud of your mind, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And that's how you crucify the old man, the flesh, how you bring the flesh under subjection. And so what happens is all of a sudden, as you get a new revelation of what God would have for you, you see where you're at and you see the Word is pulling you to that next rung on the ladder, that ladder of sanctification. And you look at it and you say, oh, my, Lord, I didn't even know that you were talking to me about this. And see, you're able to give that to Him. That's repentance. You're able to see where you're at in that situation, turn away from that, and turn to the Lord. And so that's why you and I can't browbeat somebody else who isn't where we're at. Because we don't know what they're dealing with. We don't know what the Lord is showing them. We don't know what their level of understanding is. But we just take care of ourselves. And then if God would use us to help somebody else, to encourage someone else, we know that it'll always be in love. Now, sometimes it may be hard love. It may be tough love. But the Bible says if you and I, Ephesians chapter 4, if we'll speak the truth in love, it'll cause people to grow up. Amen? But at the same time, we've got to separate those two and not let the enemy get us in a place where we take away somebody's hope. Now, remember Jesus' message from the beginning was, he said, repent, right? What did Matthew 4, after he went through the temptation, his very first message, repent and I'll make you. God wants to make us something. Amen? And the way he makes us is that we're in a place where we're continually repenting. Now, look at this. Somebody read this, the church at Sardis and the church at Laodicea. Revelation 3:3 and Revelation 3:19. Somebody read that. Go ahead and read the next one too, sister. Thank you so much.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Hallelujah. So here's two of the seven churches. So just as Jesus' message was there in Matthew 4 in the beginning, so as it is in the end. His message is always be in the place where you're willing to change your mind. Because the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Our mind is continually being changed. Amen? And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because I want to see things the way God sees them. And God says the only way I can get victory over my sin, and see, that makes people uncomfortable, I have sin. Okay? But I have to learn to hate my sin. The Bible says if I learn to hate it, God will give me victory over it. Amen? Because the glory of God is the grace of God. Amen? The grace of God is what causes you and I to be empowered to overcome. And so I've got to see Christ's message is going to always be a message of repentance, because repentance is a message of change. Amen? And so you can always change. And you will change. Every day of your life, it'll get different. Now, we don't have time to get into this much, but I want to hit the next slide, Brother Ryan. I want you to see that Moses' tabernacle, everything about Moses' tabernacle represents your life, where it's at, but the life that Jesus wants you to have. Amen? So, you know, Jesus is the gate that leads us into He's the door that leads us into all the blessings, but in the outer court, I want you to pinch yourself. The outer court in this, that's the flesh. That's the old man. That's how you and I make contact in this world, is by the outer court. But the way that we're successful in our Christian walk, and we'll cover that in just a second, is by the altar. You and I, when we come to the altar and we get born again, we get saved, all of a sudden that causes us to see what we never saw before. What? It brings us to the laver. The laver is made out of this pure, shining brass. It was made out of, the very mirrors of the ladies, if you would, what they looked into. And when you and I look into the laver, it causes us to see, like the Word of God does in the book of James, it causes us to see who we really are. And so you don't know who you are till you come to that altar. And you go through the altar, and then you come to the Word, that labor, the washing of the water of the Word, Ephesians chapter 5. And it washes away that was crucified, and it starts bringing out who you really are. But all of that is in the outer court. And then you come into the holy place. That's your mind, will, and emotions. That's your soul. That's who... See, the soul, your soul is your personality of your spirit. You are a spirit because God created you a spirit. And those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, the flesh is going back to the dirt. But your mind, will, and emotions is who you are in your spirit is going to live forever. Amen? And so as you're working your way to the revelation of the most holy place, you're coming to the place where you can walk in the Spirit. Hit the next slide, Brother Ryan. See, this gives you an idea of the physical, of the mental, of the spiritual. You're everything about your life is in a process of getting rid of the old man, pruning, purging by the Word of God, and coming into the reality of who you are. And you've got to see that being the temple of the Holy Spirit, that means that the Holy Spirit abides in your spirit. So, in your spirit is the Holy Spirit. The devil can have nothing to do with that. But the devil can have a lot to do with your mind, will, and emotions, your soul. And he can have a lot to do with your flesh. And so, so his goal is, he wants to take your spirit, my spirit, to judgment. And so what he tries to do, he attacks you in body, he attacks you in your soul to try to get you to pull away from God. And so what we're going to do in the next several weeks, we're going to learn how to stop his avenue of having an open door to work in our lives. Amen? It's going to be good. It's going to be great. And God's going to show up, and he's going to do a work in our life, and you're going to be stronger, I'm going to be stronger than we've ever been. Amen? All right. So let's look at the first step. Hit the next slide, Brother Ryan. The first step, and I won't hold you but just a minute longer, in your spiritual house cleaning, is you and I have got to present ourselves to the Lord. That's the first step. The first step is that we come unto the Lord just the way we are. And we've got to encourage people, listen, you come and you bring your filthy tongue. You bring your addiction. You bring your hatred, your anger, you bring everything just the way you are, and you come to Jesus Christ. And we're not giving them a license to sin. So many people say, you got to be careful, boy, you give people a license. I didn't need a license. I've done it anyway. So what we're doing, we're giving people an opportunity to see that God loves them where they're at, but he loves them so much he won't leave them there. Amen? All right, so let's look at a couple verses to present yourself before the Lord. Somebody read that Psalms 139 and 1. Thank you so much, Sister Ramona. Now hold that thought, what she just read. She just read that David is recognizing that God has searched him and known him. Now, the word here, searched, it means to know intimately, we could say it this way. Say like that, that we was curious if they were minerals in this land here. You know, what would you do? You'd start doing a survey. You'd start digging around and seeing what kind of soil, what kind of rocks, what kind of material was underneath. Because as you got underneath and you start recognizing, hey, this has the right material, there may be some water here. Or this has the right material, there may be some natural gas here. You know what I'm saying? So God, in other words, He searches our heart because you don't even know. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17, He said, you don't even know what's in your heart. But God searches it intimately. He knows what's in there. Amen? Now, go ahead and read, Sister Ramona, 23 and 24. Thank you, Sister Ramona. Now, think about that. He's done said, God, I know that you searched me. And now he's saying, oh, God, search me. So what's he really saying? He's saying, Lord, tell me what you know. You realize how much God wants to tell us, but we're not willing to listen. I've been in a place under the anointing where I had it wasn't me, but it was the Holy Ghost. He had a word for somebody, and I was waiting for the opportunity to give it to them, and they never gave the Holy Spirit the opportunity to speak to them. I'm sure you could say the very same thing. So David's saying, God, I know you know. You've done searched me intimately. I'm willing to stop and to listen. I'm willing to hear what you say about me rather than what I feel. I want you to know that when the Bible says you're righteous whether you feel like it or not. When the Bible says that you have faith whether you feel like it or not. When the Bible says you have power, you have power. Out of the mouth of Jesus, He can't lie. Believe what the Bible says about you, not what you feel, not what you're seeing in the natural, but what you know in your spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. Amen? You're going somewhere. You're not staying where you're at. All right. Let me finish this thought and we'll close. I want us to make sure that we understand this word. Let's go to the New Testament. Next slide, Brother Ryan. We all know this verse. Every one of us, we quote it. We talk about it all the time. But the trouble of it is, with the King James, it doesn't give us a clear understanding of what's being said. Now, notice 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the only thing of it here is this word study. It's not study. I don't know why they translated it that way, but you look it out in your other translations. The word is spoudazo in the Greek, and it means to use speed. In other words, use speed, be diligent, showing yourself approved unto God. But this word approved here is presentation. Use speed to present your life, your whole life. Your words, your actions, your words, works, to show it before God. Now, we'll go to the next slide and we'll show you. In Colossians 1:22 and 1:28, the same Greek word is used. Colossians 1:22, in the body of His flesh, talking about Jesus Christ, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in His sight. Now, we read that verse and we recognize what Jesus done. Jesus, when He went to God the Father, everyone that would believe in Him and take part of His atoning blood, His redemption, look what it says. Jesus Christ presents you to the throne of God. Notice, unblameable, because you're being made holy by Him and unreprovable in His sight. Now, see, people, they don't know these. They don't know this because they don't read the epistles, see what God's made them. You know why I kept doing the same thing over and over? Because I thought that's who I was and what I was. I didn't know what Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, my Savior, had died to make me. And so we want to be able to help people because they're going to come to you and they're going to say, listen, I'm this, this, and this. Not when you accept Jesus Christ, you're not. Come on now. We got to, how many times do people say, I'm just an old sinner? You was before you got saved, but after you got saved, you're not a sinner anymore. You're a saint. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says, and that's what you've got to tell people. Because if I recognize and realize that God has presented me by His Son in a place of holiness, when the devil starts showing me those things, they don't look so good. They don't smell so good. They don't taste so good. Amen? Colossians 1:28. This Jesus that Paul preached, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, mature, complete in Christ Jesus. See, we've got to see that your spirit is perfect before God. It's complete. And you and I, we've got to bring our body under subjection and our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. We've got to keep taking it from the holy place to the most holy place. Because in the most holy place, that's where the showbread is. The showbread is Jesus Christ. His words, they are spirit and they are life. His words change you. In other words, what does it do? It takes you from living in the outer court to living in the most holy place. Oh, it's powerful. And it gives people hope. It gives them confidence. Amen? All right, let me read this and we'll close in the Amplified Version. 2 Timothy 2:15. This is a good way to translate this verse. 2 Timothy, one we read in the King James a while ago. Study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman, no gender intended, a work person who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightfully handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. That's who you are. That's what you can do. Now, the reason why we're looking at this spiritual house cleaning, I'll close with this thought, is you know where it says in Philippians 2, down about verse 7, that Jesus Christ, he made of himself no reputation? Study that out in your Strong's Concordance. Look at that. That made himself of no reputation. It means that he emptied himself out. Now, I want you to think about that. Why did he do that? He poured every promise, every answer, every provision, every hope, everything that God the Father had, he poured it out to you and I. Why do we want to have a spiritual house cleaning? Because you and I can only hold so much. This bottle here, it says it holds 2 ounces. Well, I don't want it filled up with ounce and a half of muddy water and the other half ounce of oil to you. So I've got to see that Jesus Christ has done poured himself out that I might fill up with everything he has. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for every person that is here. Lord, I love them. I know that you love them. And I know that you have great things in store for them. Lord, your blessings is evident. It's coming out of their lives. But I ask, Lord, that you would just touch us and take us on a journey where we can really, genuinely, we can be inspired to take the Word of God and allow it to bring everything that would be a hindrance to us under subjection. And let us crucify the flesh, put off the old man. Let us empty out of everything that would be a hindrance and fill up with every promise. Lord, show us how to help other people fill up with the reality of what you have gave them through your Son, Jesus the Christ. Lord, we thank you for it. We're excited. And we know that great things are going to come moment by moment. Lord, help every person not to be in the place where they get browbeat or they get discouraged, but they're always in the place where they're knowing that they're moving forward in you. Thank you for it. Thank you for truth. Thank you for guidance. Thank you for direction, Father. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar and say, Lord God, I want to just spend a minute alone with you, and I want to hear what you might say to me. I want to hear a word that will take me from where I'm at to where you'd have me to go. Or maybe you'd want us to pray with you about something. We would love to do that. We just want you to be in the place and the position where you're expecting. And if we can help you in any way, not that we could do or say anything, but we trust that the Holy Spirit could speak through us. Because it's not about us, it's about Jesus. He's got great things for you. And you're going someplace by His goodness and His grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.